You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. When the Taft Museum of Art and the Robert S. Duncanson Society established the Duncanson Program in 1986, esteemed poet Nikki Giovanni became their first artist in residence. In the decades since, nationally and internationally acclaimed artists have been selected for the honor, including my next guests. Joining me in this recorded interview to talk about their art and the power of creative expression are visual artist Ayanna Ross, the 2026 Duncanson Artist in Residence, and two former artists in residence, jazz singer Kathy Wade and musician Tracy Walker. Thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to ask all of you this question. I'll start with you, Tracy. What does it mean to be an artist in residence, and how has it given you the opportunity to share your work with the community?
I play music and write music and perform. I still ask myself sometimes, why do I do it? But it's some compulsion and I'm moved to do it.
In the tears of a boy, across the street, I am drowning.
I don't do it for awards or anything, but when you do get recognized and acknowledged for what you do, it feels good. And it also, this award in particular, but all of the, any of them, tell me like, okay, this has value. This has value to somebody other than just myself. Doing the thing. So that's what it's meant to me personally. And then of course I meet other people and then there's other opportunities and other things that happen. So what I recognize about my own reasons for performing has a lot to do with engagement.
What about for you, Kathy?
I was just sitting here thinking when I was informed that I was going to be the third. Dating myself.
That's impressive.
The third Duncanson Artist in Residence, I was extremely excited because I was a huge fan of Nikki Giovanni and became friends. She's actually the first concert I ever produced. And I was just enthralled with that, you know. And then residency, I had grad school here at CCM, so I understood, you know, what residencies could mean. And then in Cincinnati, I'm from here, five generations. I get it. You know, I understand, knew the history of the Taft, understood and knew all about Duncanson. So for me, it was very exciting. It still is. I think about it when I tell people that I was number three. But at the time, I was doing a lot in my career, singing and building community. People to be who are still supportive to this day, but for me it was just the idea that, oh my God, I'm being recognized with Nikki Giovanni. That is so cool, and I still think about that. But it was a great boost at the time, and it still is. It means a lot.
Ayanna, what does it mean for you? You're this year's artist in residence, the 40th anniversary of the program. What does all of this mean for you?
I'm going to echo the voices. Of the two of them, I think for me it's all of that, but it's also this residency being so community centered, and me coming from Georgia, seeing my work being received in other spaces, and allowing for additional engagement, it really means a lot. It means I'm moving in the right direction. It's that validation piece, and it's also just an honor to follow in the legacy.
Well, I mentioned this residency is named for Robert Duncanson, a famous Black Cincinnati artist, Nicholas Longworth, the original owner of the home that's now the Taft Museum, commissioned a number of works by Duncanson. Ayanna, do you connect with his legacy and the legacy of these artists over the past 40 years of this residency?
Yeah, so the exhibition that I will have an opportunity to have up, it's titled Beyond the Picturesque. And the reason for that is to kind of lean into the ways that my work might be in conversation with Duncanson's work in the Taft Museum, the murals. Several of the pieces incorporate that picturesque landscape design from the 18th and 19th century. And although I'm primarily a figurative oil painter, those elements are there just to expand on the conversation in the pieces and the narrative works, but also to, I thought it was a perfect fit to bridge that connection to Duncanson. I never would have dreamt of this type of opportunity. I was a former art teacher for about 15 years in public schools. And, you know, I taught about Duncanson and I knew of his work and knew of him to be like, you know, the first internationally renowned African-American artist. And I'd considered what it meant to be self-taught and to have that type of career trajectory, you know. But no, I'd never thought about how I would connect or how I might have an opportunity to connect with this work until this opportunity came along. And so I'm really grateful to see it all up on display and looking forward to it.
Well, those murals, of course, are in the entryway of the Taft Museum. They're by Robert Duncanson. They're these eight monumental landscapes. Tracy, how do you connect with Duncanson? What does it mean to you? Do you connect with his legacy? Do you connect with the legacy of these artists over the past 40 years of this residency? You're sitting next to number three right here.
Right, number three. Yeah. I don't know what number I was. Yeah. But, yeah, I do. So I'm 61 years old, and there have been, I'm not going to go down the list of ways that in the United States, because of people that are racist that pushed back on me. I'm not going to say it's because I'm Black, because it's not because I'm Black. It's because of their issues. And so to see artists of any genre represented, recognized, doing the thing, even when it's difficult to do the thing, even when you're told you shouldn't do the thing, I do recognize that. And there's also a show I've been watching on YouTube or wherever, the Landscape Artist of the Year and a Portrait Artist of the Year, and it's a British program. I've never wanted art to feel, music to feel competitive. Like, I don't want to fight. Kathy and I both can sing, and we both do things differently. But this show is competitive, but it's not a fight. What I recognize when I'm watching it is that what art does for all of us, those who create it, I think we're all creative. I'll just put that out there too. But for those who create art and for those who view art in whatever form, it's showing us that there's so many different ways to see the same thing, to experience the same thing, a song, a word, a landscape. And so Robert Duncanson has been one person who has exemplified that. I didn't grow up in Cincinnati. I've lived here for, I don't know, 40 years or whatever it's been. So I didn't know about Robert Duncanson in my childhood. And I had a very fierce American history teacher who was an African-American woman who was, I'd learned a lot about African-American history. I don't remember, no, and she lived next door to me. and I don't remember learning about Duncanson at the time. But so, yeah, it's just part of this fabric of not just American life, but just humanity.
Kathy, what do you feel a connection? What kind of connection do you feel?
The Duncanson program has given a platform for all of us to learn about people who we may not have recognized, didn't know, was not necessarily familiar with their work. I think for me, that's one of the biggest things is that introduction, which is always good. Same thing with the murals. If you didn't know they existed and then you suddenly come across them or somebody's in conversation, they say, have you been to the Taft, you know, the Duncanson murals? Those, you know, he's a Black man. Then the other thing is there's still family members of Duncanson who live here. And in fact, one is a good friend of mine who's a musician. Distant relatives, but still here. So it's not like I can't reach out and touch. It is real, right? And any opportunity to showcase talent based on the work and talent, particularly of a Black man. You know, that for me is, that's very important. It is the history. And if we don't teach that history, it gets lost. We can't have it lost because then we start repeating ridiculous things. And that's where I'll stop. Some of them not ridiculous new things, mm-hmm. but I'll stop. Yes.
Well, we are talking in this recorded interview with three artists about the power of creative expression. Ayana, you mentioned you're a figurative painter. Can you describe some of the scenes of everyday life that you paint and what's so powerful to you about these everyday experiences?
What I like to attempt to do in my work is to collect information both from the contemporary world and historical context, sprinkle in a little personal experience to put together a narrative painting that's like multi-layered, that kind of, I don't know, addresses an issue or brings something to our attention or awareness, oftentimes leaning on everyday moments. I have a painting that'll be in exhibition. It's titled The Alchemist, and it's a scene from my childhood. My aunt was sewing a Cabbage Patch doll, or a doll that looked like a Cabbage Patch doll for me. And in the background in the painting, you can see the cover of a magazine with the Cabbage Patch doll craze when it was at its peak in the 80s. So that was taken from, I pulled pieces of it from a photograph and a memory. And I was also thinking about the ways in which historically, in this context, Black women, but Black people have been able to create for themselves and create representation. So like for me, I never felt lack. Even at a time when we could not find the brown and Black Cabbage Patch dolls to represent me, my aunt found a way to provide that representation for me. So that is what that particular piece is about. I have other paintings that reflect acts of preservation of history and culture and just stories, so that we can just think about the everyday acts that we engage in that ensure continuity and lean into intergenerational conversations. So again, that we're not repeating history in a way that we shouldn't, but so that we are also considering things that maybe our elders have done that is for the greater good and that we might want to continue to do.
Kathy, how much of your life do you bring into your performances as a vocalist?
I fell in love with you the moment that I looked into, and in their eyes, you got a certain little cute way of flirting with them.
I think as a vocalist, particularly in jazz, life experiences enable you to better tell the story of the lyric told in the song. You're able to interpret it better and bring life to it. I think about this because I'm so excited to see the young jazz female vocalist, particularly right now. And it is so rewarding to just be able to hear the craft continue, the legacy of the craft continue. No but about it. It is. I just know as a performer that the more life I live, the better I am to reshape that story. And in reshaping the story and understanding, the longer you do anything, I think we can all agree on this, the longer you work at your craft, the more comfortable you become, and the more sensitive I find myself to making sure that everyone in the audience, there's something that happens for you in particular, individually, that you're going to walk out the room with forever. That's what's important.
Tracy, what about you? How does the everyday play into your songwriting?
Sometimes in ways that I don't know when I'm doing it.
You know if you're strong when a day comes along, when you must stand up,
'cause it's the smile.
I still perform songs and look at songs that I wrote 30 or 40 years ago, and I understand them in different ways now. Sometimes I think about it, very few of my songs are like autobiographical. I'm not just telling a story about going down the street. But what one thing that has resonated through, I see it in my songwriting now, looking over time, is the word love shows up a lot.
And it's all around you. Love will never lead you wrong. It's always right on cue. This brand new heart is here to stay.
The idea that even though this might be hard, or this was challenging, or my heart got broken here, things are going to be better, or things got better. And that's a recurring theme in my music, even though I didn't intentionally, consciously write in that style, but there it is. And so to echo Kathy's point, as we move on and on and on over time and start to understand things in new ways and with from our own experiences, we can also look back and say, wow, I didn't even know I was saying that, but I was saying that. So I hope that people get something that helps them take a next step in their lives or have a better day. But I see it even in my own experience with my own work. It's kind of feels weird sometimes. Like, oh, I said that. Oh, I did.
Sounds like a good weird, though.
It is good weird. It is.
Well, Ayanna, you're joined today by these two longtime Cincinnati artists. We're talking about a residency that's based here in Cincinnati, but you're based in Atlanta, Georgia. And I get a sense that there's a really strong sense of place in your work. Do you think of Georgia as being as much of a character in your paintings as the people you're painting?
Not as much as I used to. I think that over time, what I've come to learn is that some experiences are carried within people and not necessarily just in place. That's one thing that I'm excited about with coming to Cincinnati, is to experience time with the people there and get a sense of the history and culture. And really, my work over the past few years has taken me to different places where I've had a chance to do that. And I think that's what's broadened my perspective, that we carry so much. And these stories that I've experienced here and stories I've experienced and witnessed in other places, they really have more to do with the core of a people and kind of the legacy that they've carried with them through time and through different places. So, and two different places, rather.
One thing I'd like to say right now, because it's been on my mind throughout this interview, is I'm so grateful to be here with Ayanna and Kathy. And Kathy and I have known each other mm-hmm. a number of years. And Ayanna, I'm going to come and see your work. So, and I appreciate...
That's awesome.
I appreciate, and I'm kind of a little bit in the middle here. Kathy's number three. I don't know what number I was. But when I moved to Cincinnati in my 20s, Kathy Wade was a name that I heard of and knew about. And she's been an inspiration to me to keep taking that next step, not just in her music, but in her other works that she does in the community, learning through art and other things. And now I'm hearing Ayanna. And I can only wish, I don't know how old you are, but I only wish I was that articulate and that I'm loving listening to you right now. So these connecting of the dots and legacy or whatever, it's really wonderful to me. And one of the things that I really do appreciate, and I think Kathy would probably agree with me because she's done a lot of work with children. I love it I play at Kroger, and parents are walking around grocery shopping with their 4 and 5 year old children, and the kids stand there with their mouths open, like, "Oh, whoa, this is she's singing right there in front of me." And I, if with the permission of the parents, I'll give them a pick or give them something, or talk to them about music. But I love that how we can touch young people, and how we also should and can appreciate older people. And I'm in that category. This is not about you, Kat. I know, but it's me. I'm 61 now. I'm in that category. I'm that person. But I love all of the life experience that all of the generations bring to the thing.
Ayanna, what's the most important thing you hope to bring to Cincinnati as this year's Duncanson Artist in Residence?
I think the most important thing I can bring is an open heart and just myself, in terms of not coming to with any preconceived notions, but rather coming just willing to learn and get to know people. And at the end of the day, singing, talking, teaching, it all boils down to love and people. That's our, I think, highest calling and greatest work. So this residency is really amazing. I think I mentioned it before, because of the community engagement component. Yeah, just come in with an open heart and willingness to share is what I can bring.
Well, I've been talking with visual artist Ayanna Ross, the 2026 Duncanson Artist in Residence, and two former artists in residence, jazz singer Kathy Wade and musician Tracy Walker. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. It's been wonderful.
You can find a link with more information about this year's programs on our website, wvxu.org. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez Cornu. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.